This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. What's your favorite holiday TV special? Maybe it's one of the classics like Frosty the Snowman or A Charlie Brown Christmas. Later in the show, we'll be talking about the best and the worst of the holiday specials. But first, this summer, People's Liberty asked a great question. If someone gave you $100,000, how would you make Cincinnati a better place? The organization recently announced the individuals whose answers to that question earned them each the title of 2015 Hail Fellow and $100,000 to develop their ideas to improve our city. People's Liberty Vice President of Operations Jake Hodesh joins us, along with Hail Fellows Brad Cooper and Brad Schnitker, to discuss the winning concepts. If you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number is 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Brad and Brad, congratulations to each of you on being selected as Hail Fellows.
Thank you.
How does that feel to each of you, Brad?
It's very exciting. A chance to make Cincinnati better and develop an idea that I'm very passionate about.
And how about you, Brad Schnitker?
I can sum it up in one word. It makes me feel good. Excellent, really, is a better choice. But yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity, and I'm looking forward to getting this work done.
Well, again, congratulations to each of you. And Jake, tell us about People's Liberty and how the organization works.
Okay, yeah, great. First of all, thanks for having us. So People's Liberty, as you know, we discussed a couple months back, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners will remember, People's Liberty is a philanthropic lab. So it's a lab that's being established here in Cincinnati. It's funded by the Hale Foundation and the Johnson Foundation. And Eric Avner from Hale and Amy Goodwin from Johnson Foundation are our two fearless leaders. And what they've done is they've allocated resources, dollars, from their two foundations and pooled them together to make grants available to individuals inside the 275 Beltway who are interested in positively affecting change here inside the 275 Beltway. And you'll see over the next 5 years, it's a five-year program, but you'll see over the next 5 years many, many opportunities for individuals inside the 275 Beltway to get grant dollars directly to them as individuals to go pursue their dream projects that they think are going to make this place a more enjoyable place, a better place, a more innovative place. And Brad are two perfect examples of that. They applied for the 2015 Hale Fellowship, and the Hale Fellowship opportunity is a $100,000 opportunity. We had a lot of applicants. We had a great panel of jurors who went through all of the applications and insane detail. I was a fly on the wall in the room, and it was crazy. Some hard fought battles in those rooms, and the two Brads, believe it or not, came out victorious, and we're really excited for both of their projects.
So you really, really are serious at People's Liberty about finding the best ideas.
Oh yeah, I think so. And one of the courageous elements of this, if I can say, is that each of the foundations had to trust independent juries to go out and vet all of these ideas. We had ideas from over 30 different communities and neighborhoods inside the 275 Beltway, and it's represented by these two guys, one of which lives all the way deep on the west side and another one who lives east side. And we had applications from everywhere in between, seven independent jurors who dedicated their time and energy to review in great detail all of the applications. And these two rose to the top.
Any idea how many applications you got? You say a lot, but...
Yeah, that's a great question. We had almost 100 applications.
Wow.
Submitted, and those are submitted. There were still many, many, many more that were in the queue but didn't get submitted. And one of our goals and jobs for the next couple weeks is to figure out what stopped those people from submitting and why they didn't, and figure out how we drive people to apply next time. And for either, if it's for the next opportunity, which is the project grants, which are up to $10,000 grants, or if it's next year for the Hale Fellowships.
So Jake, was it hard with all these applications to make a decision on who was the winner? Did you get a lot of good ideas?
I'm glad it was not my responsibility. It was the responsibility of the jurors. But yeah, I mean, there were incredible applications, and the decision at the end of the day was really difficult. But the two best rose to the top, and we're excited to have them here.
Well, Brad, your project is called Start Small. What will you be working on next year? Tell us about this.
So yeah, I'm going to be building two tiny homes in Over the Rhine, and these homes are meant to be affordable, and that doesn't mean low income. It's just affordable for anyone. It's going to be addressing the vacant lots that are seen kind of all over town. There's a lot of redevelopment happening in our city, both in the center of the city and the surrounding neighborhoods. And this is going to give an opportunity for two individuals to invest and take a stake in Over the Rhine.
Describe the houses. You say they're small homes. Well, describe these to me.
So they're going to be about 200 square feet. And if you think about the size of a parking space, that's about 150, 160 square feet. So just a little bit bigger than that. And if you imagine living in that, your bed, your cooking, eating, living area, that's all in 200 square feet.
That's a compelling thought. How do you go about designing a 200 square foot home that's going to meet the needs and the requirements of the people in the community?
Well, it's going to be me designing it, but it's going to need the input from the people that are interested in living in it. So I've already started to gather that feedback. There's a survey online. I also had a focus group with a few individuals to figure out what their needs are. And it really depends on the person. I don't think I can design a 200 square foot home for a mass population. Each individual has a different lifestyle and different needs that are going to be very specific in 200 square feet.
What about zoning requirements? Any problems with that?
Not that I have found. The city of Cincinnati has, I believe it's 150 square foot minimum for a dwelling unit. And then there's additional stipulations for room sizes. A bedroom has to be 70 square feet. And that's based off the Ohio Residential Code.
So why did you pick this particular project? What drove you to do this?
Small buildings are something I've always been interested in throughout school and since I've left school. And the opportunity to do something small that I can manage and then someone else can also take a stake in, and that it's affordable to just about anyone.
Now, you say you'll be relying on input. That I guess that includes the whole neighborhood, not just the people who are going to be living in the homes,
yes,
right?
Yes, there will be a community visioning session in February, and that's meant to gather input from the larger neighborhood and Cincinnati in general. There's also going to be an event at the end of January that we'll be posting about, and that's meant to come and see how big 200 square feet actually is.
Jake, what's your take on that project? It's like I said, it's a compelling thought. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's really extremely fascinating. And so for us as staffers who have looked at other organizations, foundations, other communities and what they're doing, one thing that was really compelling about the idea for, quote unquote, these tiny houses is people are talking about this in every community across the country, but nobody has been able to supremely like crack this problem address this issue head on, in the sense that can someone define a replicable model that can be used in other communities? So could Brad in the course of a year go ahead and develop these two homes on a specific budget, find people who are ready, willing, and able and committed to buy and live in these homes, and could that model become the foundation for replication in other communities across the country? We saw that as a yes. And we also looked at this and said, what has been holding back the Brads of other towns from going and doing this in the way that he's able to do it right now? And the reality is some seed funding to go get the project started, and some support systems that we're able to put in place to enable him to be successful. And so our hope is that he can commit a year of his life, of his professional practice to this, and that not only will Cincinnati benefit, but other communities across the country will look at Cincinnati and how Brad solved this issue.
And Brad, you've been involved in several other projects along the same line, right? I think I read a thought that you said that architecture should be more than just a service. Tell us about the other projects that you've been involved in.
Yeah, so I was involved in two design competitions. One of them was called Live Make, and that was to re-envision kind of the industrial mix, the urban mix zone in Over the Rhine, where we had a lot of light industrial manufacturing, and how can we bring some of that back with residential use together? And that was back in 2012. And then more recently, Place from Space, that was a competition to develop any vacant lot and turn it into something that was vibrant and active. The winner was in Covington. It was called Mad Lot. So you can go see that space now.
Brad Schnicker, tell us about your project.
Sure. Well, the name of it is called Musically. What I would like to create is, or what I'm going to create, is a very simple online platform for local musicians to get the business side of their band or their music registered, documented properly, so that it's ready for more commercial opportunities.
How tough is that for musicians to do? Is this something there's really a need for?
Yeah, especially in our city. We've just got a great talent pool. Our music scene is fantastic. But despite that, you know, if you're starting a band or if you're a musician, you really, your number one priority is the music, and the business side of that tends to fall off the plate because of it's complex. It's you have to go from a lot of different places just to get all those ducks lined up. You have to register with the PRO. You really should create a band operating agreement, defining royalty splits, and assigning an official music representative. All that stuff that musicians don't tend to think of right out of the gate. So I want to create a platform that gets all that stuff squared away easily for all of our Cincinnati musicians.
Did you hear a lot from your peers, other musicians who said we really, really need something like this?
I hear it, and in the past 24 hours I've heard it a lot. Yeah, so this is a real problem that needs to be solved, and I'm really looking forward to getting it done.
I guess this is true, Jake. I mean, Cincinnati's a big music town. Something like this fits in perfectly, doesn't it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we were extremely excited by this application. And one thing that we looked at, I was in the room when the jurors were talking, was they were looking at some of the music towns in the United States. So if you look at Austin or Nashville, L.A., New York. One of the cores to each of those communities is that there is like this business infrastructure there, especially today in this modern age of music and how you actually make a living making and performing and recording music. It's completely different than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Definitely different than it was 20 years ago. And there aren't a lot of communities that are spending time and money and resources thinking about this commercialization opportunity. And this isn't just for rock and roll bands. I mean, this spans the entire spectrum of music from classical to rap and hip hop and rock and roll. I mean, it's truly a music library for the city of Cincinnati. And the idea is that could this music library, will this music library be accessible for all these bands? Yes. And what it does is it gives them a platform to sell their music, to be commercially viable. One really interesting thing that the jurors brought up that we're excited by is some of the biggest music buyers in the country, in the world, are right here in Cincinnati. And that could be agencies and or agency brands. So if you think about the Procter & Gambles and the Krogers and the Macy's and all of the agencies that are here in Cincinnati working for them, they're all buying music. And one of the intriguing things about Brad's project is is he going to go and build a library that's going to be accessible by these buyers of music? And our hope is yes.
Yeah, well, the first step is really, and really the initial objective of this project is the library comes second. But first of all, we need to just gather as much music as we can that's from this area and make sure that it's all documented, registered properly, legally, so that it's not scary for the lawyers at Procter & Gamble or the Reds when they look at it and they're like, well, I'm not sure I want to do business with this band. They don't have any, they have a Facebook page and that's it. So why would I want to spend my marketing dollars on a band that doesn't have, their business side spelled out correctly? So getting that done is priority one. Mm-hmm.
The name Musically, which is M-U-S-I-C-L-I.
Right.
How'd you come up with the name?
There's a website, I forget the name of it, but it'll basically smash words together and it'll spit out new words that didn't exist before. And that was the end result of it. And when you say it musically, it both represents, L-I is for library, L-I could be for licensing, and then the word musically is, actually an adjective, right? It's an adjective, isn't it?
We'll go with that.
Whatever. I'm not an English major.
We'll have more on People's Liberty after the break, and later in the show, we'll take a look at the holiday TV specials. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Continuing our conversation about People's Liberty and how the program works to make Cincinnati a better place, my guests are People's Liberty Vice President of Operations, Jake Hodesh, and Brad Cooper and Brad Schnicker, who had the winning concepts. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Brad Cooper, what was the process like for you entering this competition? What did you have to go through?
It was a lot of work and a lot of meetings with people. Over the Rhine Community Housing, one of my partners really helped me through the affordable housing aspect. It's not something that I was immediately familiar with. I was very interested in the tiny homes and how that could make an impact on Cincinnati. So it was a long process, a couple months of development that all came together in the end.
Well, this is a new idea for Cincinnati. It's a new idea for a lot of places. Are you hopeful this is going to be successful?
I think it will be successful. when you look at Cincinnati, the amount of space that we have here and the size of homes, it doesn't necessarily necessitate this type of building, but I think there is a demand for it, and people that want to live this way, it's a different way of living than even in a 1,200 square foot single family home, which is still a bit small when you look at the averages.
Well, this is designed to create opportunities for people, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the opportunity to actually buy a house, to have a permanent residence. You're not really worried about where you're going to be living in a week or a year even. So have the ability to put your roots down and stake a claim in a neighborhood, I think, is incredibly important to the development of that neighborhood.
Jake, did the judges pick two vastly different concepts, or did it just happen to fall out that this way, that there were just two such completely different ideas that won?
That's a great question. So the way the jury system was played out, we took all the applications that came in, essentially at random, split those in half, and there were two sets of two people. And so we had two folks reviewing half of the applications and two folks reviewing the other half of the applications. And they were basically able to hand off what amounted to 15 finalists that got to a jury of three. And that jury of three was in a room for a very long time, going back and forth, with pros and cons and different ideas about the quality of those 15 applications. In advance, they had a week ahead of time to go over each of those applications in detail. And through a system of ranking and voting and back and forth, we landed on our top picks. We had the two Brads in the lead and a couple others behind them, just in case one of the Brads said they didn't want to do it, or both of them. But the minute I called each of these guys, there was just like screaming, a little bit of cursing.
Things you can't repeat.
Yeah, things that aren't right for public radio.
Yeah, I was afraid that the amount of F-bombs I was throwing your way would actually disqualify me from the...
Luckily,
that didn't happen.
Luckily, they said yes before they started yelling.
Brad, tell me more about your involvement in the music business. You've helped found an agency. You've been a composer. And mm-hmm. Something I really, really want to hear about is how you once tried to turn music into a pizza topping.
Yeah, I did do that. Well, my work with the All Night Party, which is the name of the company I'm involved with, which I'll be taking a year off from, we did a lot of work creating just innovative ways, different ways to deliver music. And if you are a human, you enjoy pizza and, and also music. So it wasn't really too far of a stretch for me to put the two together. And the concept was, there was a pizza place in Northside called North Slice, which I wish still existed. Basically, you could go to that pizza window, order a pizza, and request music as an additional topping on the pizza. At that point, the person in the window would slap a North Slice menu on the box, which would include a download code, a URL, and some information about the artist that was on that pizza. And you'd take it home, take the pizza home, eat it, and download the music later. And the idea was that maybe monthly you would change out the artist, and this would be, campaign for, and it's really still a good idea. So I hope there's some pizza places listening right now who might want to talk.
It's a great idea. Just ask Brad.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Andrew in Dayton. Good afternoon, Andrew. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Having a good time here.
Right on. Sounds like it. So anyway, this is for Brad here. I guess
Brad S.
Hi.
The music Brad.
Music Brad. All right.
Hey, how you doing?
So anyways, I've been playing around the Dayton area for about 13, 14 years, and I got to agree with you, man. One thing we don't have is the business side of things. There's a lot of great music in town.
True.
A lot of great musicians that don't really care to do what's necessary to get out there. And having somebody around town who can do that work for them and help promote them and actually, like, help them not be lazy.
Right. Well, that's the idea. You know, with it, with Musical.ly, you know, what I want it to be, it's going to be online. It's going to be, it'll take you through a step-by-step, you know, step-by-step approach for every single thing you need to do to get your music ready for commercial use.
Right. It's a lot of work for people to do on their own. Man.
It is.
Having somebody around to help guide them and direct them when they may have no idea, you know,
help
somebody that would essentially be stuck in their basement get out there and do something.
Exactly. So, and the other portion of this is that, you know, the process of this will be educational for any artist who is in our region. So just by doing it, by the end of it, you'll, as an artist, will be more educated about, you know, every step of the way. You'll know more about performing rights organizations. You'll know what publishing is. You'll know what licensing is. All this stuff that really doesn't necessarily cross your mind when you're trying to write a song in your basement. So,
Andrew, thanks for the question. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
Let's talk with Lisa in Hyde Park. Good afternoon, Lisa. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hello?
Hi, Lisa. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations to Bradley Cooper. I think it's phenomenal what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I had a question about the small house.
Okay.
I've seen them online, and I wanted to know if they were safe, and if they were geared toward a younger person or an older person. I know you mentioned that they would be specific to the person's needs. So if an older person like me that had bad knees did not want the staircase,
right,
do you design them according to that, or are they made specifically for a younger person who, you know?
Yeah, they will not be specific to a younger or older person necessarily right off the bat. I think one of the goals I have is to make them visible for anyone, so that if you did have someone in a wheelchair coming to visit you, for instance, or maybe someone like yourself that has bad knees that can't climb a lot of stairs, that there would be access into the unit, first of all. A few of the concepts I have, I have three of them. One of them would be kind of two stories, one and a half stories. That would not be for you, I would imagine. So yes, it's gonna be dependent on the individual. And what would be different mainly from right off the bat from the ones you might be seeing on TV or online is that it's not going to be on wheels. It's going to be on a permanent foundation. It's going to be in one place.
Okay.
Lisa, thank you for the question. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Brad, are you going to build both these homes on a single lot? Where exactly will they be?
So I have three possible sites. Over the Rhine Community Housing owns the sites. One of them would be able to easily accommodate two of the homes. If we go forward with the other sites, we'd need to look into a second site or how that might work on one site.
Jake, are you hoping projects like these will have the potential to be examples for others to follow?
Yeah, without a doubt. So the caller from Dayton, perfect example. Dayton is obviously outside of the 275 Beltway. Doesn't mean we don't love Dayton, just happens to be outside of the 275 Beltway. And our particular grant-making opportunities are only for folks inside the 275 Beltway. However, Brad could very well develop a product through Musical.ly that is interesting to people, musicians in Dayton or musicians outside of our region, quote unquote. And our hope is that through People's Liberty and the funding from Johnson Foundation and Hale Foundation, that we're able to fund projects like these that are replicable in other communities. Whether that means Musical.ly also has operations in Dayton, or Dayton musicians are able to access Musical.ly, or whether that means with respect to the tiny houses that folks from Milwaukee come to Cincinnati to sit down with Brad Cooper and figure out how he's doing the tiny houses here, that we would be open to giving them the information and the ability to go and replicate these opportunities in other communities, and that they see, and that the entire country sees, that this inspiration and this innovation is coming out of Cincinnati.
So when's the next time you'll be asking for ideas to improve the city?
Okay, great. The next opportunity is the project grant. Project grants open on February 2nd of 2015. which will be here before you know it. Mm-hmm. And information can be found at peoplesliberty.org. The project grant opportunities are up to $10,000 opportunities, and you have up to 10 months to implement. Application process is fairly similar to the Hale Fellowship process, and we're going to meet and sit down and walk through anyone and everyone inside the 275 Beltway who's interested in applying and has a creative or innovative idea to help transform Cincinnati. We'll sit down with them and run them through the program.
There's also a link to People's Liberty at WVXU.org. Brad, Jake, and Brad, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
President of Operations for People's Liberty, Jake Hodesch, along with 2015 Hale Fellows, Brad Cooper and Brad Schnicker.